If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 will be a very familiar scripture for many of you. But I'd also like, if you would, to mark in your Bibles John chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 5. That's John chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 5. The reason why is the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And there's some things I want you to see for yourself there tonight. As we go along, I want to thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Sherry and I always feel so at home here at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's just a good place to be. I want to speak to you tonight on the topic of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. While you're turning in your Bibles, I just want to share with you that our goal during worship is not to become more biblically smart. Even though that's a good thing, and I encourage that, but we need something much bigger in mind when we come to worship. Because when we open our Bibles on any given Sunday, the preacher is not speaking into a vacuum. He's speaking to real people with real things going on in their lives, real issues, real hurts. Sometimes we have habits that we can't seem to whip, and it seems like demons are calling us by name. I also know that many times some of us let our guard down, and there are things that keep us down. We might word it a little bit differently, but oftentimes I hear people talk about their disappointments and their discouragements on their spiritual journey. And what I mean is this. Some people think that once they've turned from their sins to Christ for their eternal destiny, that they would have a lot less struggles in life, a lot less difficult relational issues in life, and they think it's all going to be up here, but it turns out to be a far cry from where they actually live. And that gap between where they thought it would be and where they actually are is a source of discouragement. And it can get to the point where this source of discouragement just kind of says, well, let's walk away from it and just give up on it. Because you say to yourself, this looks like it's working for a lot of other people, but not so much for me. Sometimes I feel like I'm way behind everybody else. Those thoughts would tempt anybody to consider, is this really worth it? And I found that there are a lot of people out there, a lot more than you may think, that feel this way. People who feel distant from the Lord. People who feel disconnected from Him. And oftentimes, it can be our children. It can be our spouse, our friends, our relatives. And many times, it's just us. That we're not as close to the Lord as we need to be. Our focal passage tonight will be John chapter 15. And we're going to begin with verse 4, John chapter 15, verse 4. I'm going to read from my copy of God's Word, and you can follow along in yours. Mine's the New King James. But before I do that, I know I need to pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask tonight that you would, Lord, just impress on our hearts the need, Father, to have a close relationship with you. The Father, more than biblical knowledge, that we would just love you and never get over your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 4 is where we will begin. My copy of God's Word reads like this. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The word abide is in there a time or two. And what's that even mean? You know, you have to go to church to hear a word like abide. I can go all week long and never say or hear the word abide. But abide simply means to remain or it means to continue. In this context, it's the idea of staying connected to Jesus. It's not a Sunday morning experience. It's not a schedule throughout the week. It's not showing up on Sunday morning and punching your spiritual time clock and then living the rest of the week in your own power in any way you want to. That's not abiding in Jesus. That's not connecting with Jesus or walking with Jesus or being intimate with Jesus. Jesus says, connect with me, walk with me, be intimate with me. And Jesus says, when you abide in me, I will abide in you. And Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, here it is. You can't bring forth fruit in your life, the very thing that you may have thought you were signing up for as a follower of Jesus Christ, unless you stay connected to the Lord, unless you abide in him. A branch can't expect to bring forth fruit. We can't expect that type of quality of life unless we can stay connected to the Savior. And that's what Jesus is saying in this verse here, verse 4. Drop down to verse 5 with me. Jesus says, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The one who stays close to Jesus will bear much fruit, but without him can do nothing. And this brings a challenge, to my mind at least. And that's the one thing about filling the pulpit for a pastor when they're gone. We don't necessarily go through a book of the Bible, but just where I am on my spiritual journey, just where I'm walking with the Lord at. And I think about this challenge because we all know people who don't know God. They're very disconnected from him. They don't have a friendship with him. They don't have a relationship with him. But yet they seem to be doing a lot in their life. Matter of fact, they seem to be doing a lot of good in their life. And they're affecting a lot of other people in a positive way. So if Jesus is saying, apart from me, you can do nothing, why is that person who doesn't even know God able to do these good things that affect people in good ways? Or what about the person that says that they know God, but it seems apparent by their life that they're disconnected from God, and they too seem to be able to do a lot of good things? Clearly, Jesus is not lying. Jesus is not misrepresenting the truth. Jesus is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So what does he mean when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing? He's speaking in the context of fruit. He's speaking in the context of spiritual fruit. He's speaking in the context of us growing spiritually and helping others along the way that they would grow spiritually as well. And the fruit that Jesus is talking about will not only last in this life, but it will last in the life to come. It will last for eternity. There are good things that everybody can do from time to time, and it will last for a while, and it might make a difference in the moment, but it will be forgotten, and it will fade. But the fruit that Jesus is talking about here in this passage of Holy Writ is the kind that only God can manifest through us, his children, and that's the kind of fruit that will last for an eternity. And it won't fade away. And Jesus says that kind of fruit you can't bring about by yourself. You can't do that apart from me. Look with me in verse 6. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as the branch is withered, and they gather them, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And here clearly this is a picture of those who are disconnected from the Lord and never experience salvation, and they're going to experience the wrath of a holy and just God. And verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And this is a picture of the person who is connected close to the Lord. They understand what his will is because they understand his word. They're in his word, and because of that, their prayers bring forth much fruit. Now verse 8 is where I want to camp out a little bit. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus says, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. I want to point out, it's not just a little bit of fruit. It's not a little dab of fruit, but it's much fruit. It's a lot of fruit in our lives. And as followers of God, we're supposed to live our lives where much fruit comes forth from the way that we live. And when we do that, the Father is glorified and we're proved to be his disciples. The best life is not lived for your glory. And my best life is not lived for my glory. The best life that you and I can live is for the glory of the Father. And Jesus says the way to bring glory to the Father is to live a life that brings forth much fruit. A lot of fruit. So what does Jesus mean by fruit? That's the question that comes to my mind. What is this fruit that he's talking about? You know, in a moment we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 5, but there's more to fruit than we often think about. For example, when you influence somebody for the sake of the gospel, that is fruit. When you, through building bridge relationships, when you're a missionary, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you play, and you influence somebody for the sake of the gospel, and they become a follower of Jesus Christ, that is fruit of an eternal kind. Flip back with me, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 4. In John chapter 4, I'm going to just lay it out for you here just a little bit. There's a lady that was looked down on by her community, and she couldn't have felt worse about herself. You talk about looking for love in all the wrong places. I think that song could have been written with her in mind. Because she had a relationship and a heartache, a relationship and a heartache, a relationship and a heart. 5 times she went through that. She was looked upon as the person you do not want to be, and she couldn't have felt worse about herself or further from God. Yet when God in the flesh showed up on planet Earth, he intentionally walked through a town, through a village, where he knew that he would meet a woman by herself there at a well where he could have some one-on-one time with her. And I think that's good news for every single one of us here tonight. Because if you feel far from God, you think, boy, if everybody here really knew how far from God I am at times, they would just be shocked. I want you to know that you're on the radar screen of God, just like that woman at the well was on that day. And Jesus said something to that lady that changed everything. She kind of threw her hands up in the air and she says, well, when the Messiah comes, he will help me. And Jesus looked at this lady and he says, the one you're talking to right now, that's me. That's me. I'm the one. And Jesus hadn't spoken these words to anybody else. Only to a lady who felt far away from God. When you read through your New Testament, Jesus would often say, go and tell nobody after a miracle. And to this woman, he reveals to her for the first time, I'm the Messiah. I don't know how far you feel from God at times, but I want you to know the Lord wants to speak to you too. I want you to know that the Lord has secrets between you and him too that he wants to reveal just to your heart and to your mind. He loves you and he wants you to abide in him and him in you. He wants to pull you close, and in his eyes you're never going to be an outcast and you're never going to be an outsider. This look down, talked about lady goes back into the town where she's from and she says, come and listen to the man who can tell me everything about myself. And I got a feeling that there were some nervous people in that town because the things she didn't do alone. She's thinking, man, this is a glorious moment, but I got a feeling there were some people there saying, help me, Rhonda, help me, Rhonda. This woman that the Lord met that day, her life was changed. And while she's being a missional Christian, sharing about Jesus, Jesus is back at the well by himself, and his disciples show up. And they urged him to eat because they'd been to town to get some food. And Jesus says, I have food you don't know anything about. And they're like, what? Somebody give Jesus something to eat? Where'd he get something to eat at? And he's talking about doing the will of his Father. Look with me, John chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. John chapter 4, beginning verse 35. Reads like this. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Verse 36. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. When you see someone come to faith in Jesus, that is fruit that will last forever. That is fruit that will last for all of eternity. It's fruit that we can rejoice in. And as believers, as redeemed, born again redeemers, the Holy Spirit, God resides in you. And that means the desires of God are in you. And the Bible says that God desires for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance, for all to come to eternal life in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You see, God wants everybody to find out they don't have to be slaves to fear, that they don't have to be slaves to sin, that they can be sons and daughters of the one true King, the eternal King, and he will give them the gift of righteousness, his righteousness imputed into us. And when the Lord lives in you, you will rejoice in that, and it becomes intoxicating, and you will want more and more and more and more. And dear friend, that's spiritual fruit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Go eat popcorn, so I remember it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, again will be a very familiar passage of scripture to many of you. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, I got to stop right there, mid-sentence. Here it is. By this my Father is glorified, that you bring forth much fruit, we talked about. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, if you stay connected to me, if you walk with me, if you grow in me, you will bring forth much fruit. So here's the fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Often as Christians, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit like it's plural. We'll say the fruits of the Spirit. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. It says fruit of the Spirit in the singular. And it's like all these nine characteristics are wrapped up into one fruit. If you think about your favorite fruit, maybe think of a crisp banana or a crisp apple and a sweet banana and a kiwi and the smell of a coconut. I don't even know if that's a fruit or not, but they're all one fruit, all the best qualities of those. And what this is talking about is the very best of the life of Jesus Christ, the very best of our Lord and Savior. All those characteristics are wrapped up into one fruit. So if you stay connected to Jesus, and he will you, those nine characteristics will flush out and manifest themselves in my life, in your life, to the people around us, to the people we do life with. And it's not because you try hard, it's not because you have good intentions. Because you stay close to Jesus and you abide in him and you. I want us to look at this first characteristic, which is love. It's still February. We talk about love a lot in February, don't we? Some of your greatest moments in life is because God's love has been poured through you into somebody else. Likewise, some of our worst moments in life is when we've withheld that love from people who needed it and needed it dearly. When we walk step by step connected with Jesus, his love in us will be expressed to all those we do life with. And as you know, there are different words in the Bible for love. There's eros, love. You can think of the English word erotic. It's a sensual love, it's a sexual love. And you might think, are we even able to talk about that in church? But I want you to know God is the author of eros love. And that's probably a good place for an amen. If you've never said amen in church before, man, let it roll right there. That's probably a good place. This love is the God-given attraction of a man to a woman and a woman to a man. And if you don't believe me, just read the Song of Solomon. There's phileo love. This is a friendship love. This type of love is based around our common interest. We have common interest with our closest friends. That's just how it works. But the problem is, sometimes if our interest changes, then we don't hang out or spend as much time or talk as much with our friends. I like antique tractors. And if I have a friend that decides he don't like them, then we probably won't have as much to talk about sometimes. We probably won't hang out together as much. Filial love is a wonderful thing, but it has its limits. And then there's agape love. The majority of the time when you read this, when you read the word love in your New Testament, not always, but the majority of time, it's the word agape. This is a word for unconditional love. It's a love with no strings attached. It's a love that says, I'm going to give even if you don't get it. It's a love that says, even if you don't have the ability to understand what I'm doing for you or the sacrifice I'm making for you, I'm going to do it anyway. It's the kind of love that separates the men from the boys in a spiritual sense. This kind of love separates those who abide in Jesus and those who do not. This kind of love comes from heaven. Eros love, God's its author, but it can certainly be worldly and fleshly. Philo love, given by God, but it still has its limitations. But agape love is God's love, unconditional love. And it's only by His power that it can be distributed through people like you and me. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, whoever would believe in Him should not perish. You want to take a shot in the dark what kind of love that is? It's agape love. How about Romans chapter 5, verse 8? For God demonstrated His love towards us while we were yet still sinners. Christ died for us. It's agape love. God gave love with no strings attached. You can sin and you can rebel, but He's still given. You and I don't have the power to love that way, but Christ in you and me does. That's how we love and forgive people who have hurt us, through Christ living in us and by His unconditional love. I want to close tonight. My mom used to make the best apple pie, and I loved it with vanilla ice cream. Isn't it funny how most of us think our moms are the best cooks ever? I love my mom's apple pie. We went down to Waverly, Missouri one time, and I stepped out into the orchard, and I want to tell you what I heard. Silence. Total silence. So let me tell you what you won't hear in an orchard. You won't hear moaning. You won't hear groaning. You won't hear sounds of struggling. You won't hear a branches don't make those sounds. You won't hear sounds of strain or exhaustion because the branches don't do that. They're just still. The branches aren't moaning and straining because they're not producing anything. All they're doing is distributing what flows through them, manifested as fruit that draws us to them. My point is, you and I are the branches. We don't produce fruit. We just distribute what flows through us from a holy God when we're connected to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, as we look at the scripture tonight, that we would be reminded, Father, that we need to and must abide in You, be intimate with You. Father, that the discouragements that come in our spiritual journey, that somehow, Lord, we could put them to the side and just remember, Father, how important it is to be close to You through it all, that we could bear much fruit. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.